107.
Astrid finds that the show he's presenting doesn't go together with copyright enforcement. Popcorn Radio next, with a special guest.
Popcorn with the PRS.
Excuse me, Astrid, that last piece, I believe that's actually from a film. How did you get your hands on it, and how did you actually pay for your performing rights?
Well, before I answer this question, I'm going to give you a bit of a lowdown as what's happening on the show. This is Popcorn, this is the Maybank Holiday, and I've got a special guest on the show. This station, this show, isn't exactly kosher, as it were. And to help me explain, really, isn't it, to how I can get to be a bit more legit and do the artist right, I've actually got a representative of the MCPS PRS Alliance on with me.
Hello. Help.
Yes, yes. And your name's Amanda, is it?
Yes, yes, Amanda. Amanda Byron.
Right. She's high up in the PRS Alliance. She's going to be helping me set this show on the right track. And all throughout, she's going to be explaining just what it is she thinks that I'm doing wrong. Well, right away, she thinks that was wrong. All I've done is play the opening theme. Come on, what's wrong with that?
I'm just concerned. You do know that that's from a film, an American film. I just wanted to just query that you have actually paid to play that piece of music.
Oh.
It's very important. A lot of people put a lot of time and effort and money into making these recordings, and we feel at the PRS that it's very important that these people are remunerated.
Yeah, well, first I just want to say why I might want to use that, because this is a movie show. We want to have a bit of a Hollywood glitz to this show, and that's why I've used it. I've used it just in parody. I haven't directly ripped it off. I've just made a remix, and I've used it really as a sample. You know?
Yes, but it's somebody else's ideas.
And my idea as well, because I put it together in that remix, and they didn't think of that originally when
but
they made the record,
you
did
just,
they?
Isn't that what we call plagiarism?
Not really, because plagiarism is like, you know, you rip something off and that is it. You've just ripped it off, you made a copy. And I haven't copied it. I've made this thing, this original track, into something new.
You went into a recording studio, you had the rapper, the young children, you had the different musicians, you had them all play for you, and then you got in contact with us and then paid a small price to make sure that we get your publishing for you. Is that what you're saying?
This is a radio studio, and I think of this as more than I think of this as a little recording studio. I think we're a creative process here, and I think that we are just about as creative as the original pieces.
Monday morning, I know the feeling.
As the original writer of that piece was. So, right, so if I accept your argument, what have I got to do to make that legit then?
Well, you have to actually get in touch with us.
I'm in touch with you. You're right here. You're right. You're right by our side here.
Is then we go through, we find out exactly who's recorded it. Then we get in touch with them and we pay them. It's royalties. It's almost like a rent on the song.
Mm.
You're like
feels like rent,
it.
Yeah.
Yes, you're renting it from them for your use. I mean, it's not just you. It's not just the little people. Even people in the likes of amateur dramatic societies, they still have to pay their PRS.
Mm. Well, okay. So I find out who's written that theme. And then do I have to ask for permission to use it in the way I have?
Yes, you do.
Right, and what if they said no? I've already made it now. What am I going to do if they say no?
Well, you're breaking the law.
Right, I see. So, but I don't want to risk that because how can you imagine this show with a different theme?
Well, if you can't imagine the show with a different theme and we find out that you have continued using the said theme, then we are within our rights to prosecute you.
Well, I'm going to use it again at the end of the show. You know that, don't you?
Well, we'll be clamping you in irons before too long.
Irons? Oh, yeah, you've actually got some irons with you. Or
yes.
Are those just metaphorical?
No, actually, I do have a set of irons. They're Victorian. And we also have in the car park some stocks set up. So, you know, feel free to play it again, but you will be hit with rotten tomatoes.
I can't believe it. The radio business, it just sounds medieval to me. But I tell you what, we are going to have to get on and play a record if you haven't got too much of a problem with that.
Okay.
This audio and the programme material contained within is the express copyright of Popcorn Radio. Any attempt to modify it, sell it or record it from the air could result in a fine of £150,000 or a scary prison sentence, whichever is the greater. This message is copyright Popcorn Radio. All rights very much reserved.
May Bank Holiday Popcorn, what did we have there? We had Hoodwinked, that was that one, the film, Tree Critter, a song from that, and Alan Partridge's Know Me, Knowing You, Monday Morning, and I don't know if we can say this on the radio, the subtitle is Suck On This, that's what it was called. Don't blame me, that's what the song's called.
Excuse me, never mind the context of the song. That was the most awful quality I've ever heard. Did you download that? Have you recorded that from the TV? It was absolutely awful.
No, well, OK. I have got a CD for the last one on order, the Hoodwink one. I couldn't get it. It's a very rare soundtrack. The last song we played, I've been trying to get the CD. You know, it's going to have an original copy for legal purposes.
And I'm speechless.
It hasn't arrived in the post yet. So what I did, I wanted to include it. We wanted to include it in the show. I did get a copy from the file sharing network, but that's all right because it's coming in the post. And that, I think it'll be here tomorrow. You know, when things get back to normal, the postman come on Tuesday and Wednesday, don't they?
So, you're saying that you've already posted your PRS off. Is that what you're saying?
Well, actually, I don't pay PRS. What am I saying? No, sorry. Not yet. No, I can't do that yet, but what I'm saying is that I've got an original copy of every song I've played, except for that one there, because it's in the post.
That's
so
not going to cut the mustard with our solicitors. I think that if you put that forward in court, you'd not only be laughed at, you'd be going down for a while.
You're laughing now, aren't you?
And laughing out of sheer disgust.
And I'm laughing. I don't find it funny at all because I thought I was doing the right thing. You know, I've ordered the original CD.
I hope you're laughing out of nerves, young man.
Yeah, you are making me feel quite nervous. I admit, yeah. I mean, you know, we're not exactly the most professional, most legit
Never
radio station.
Never in my 25 years of working for the broadcasting publications people have I come across such piracy. You might as well be on the seven seas.
I mean, I'm going to change my ways, but what it is, I wanted you to help me. I wanted you to show me the way, as it were. That's why I got you on here. I wanted some advice, but you see, I'm just trying to tell you, your rules are so strict.
If you're going to blatantly disregard our PRS laws, I think that we are at an impasse, in a way.
That's okay. Right, OK, so I'm just going to recap the last couple of songs before we move on to the next one, and then I'm going to talk about what's coming up on the show. We played Hoodwink with Tree Critter. Amanda's got a problem with that because it's been downloaded before I got the original copy, but I haven't just pirated it. I have, but I'm getting the CD in the post. We've said that over and over again, and the last one I recorded off the TV as well, Knowing Me, Knowing You, but it's not out on CD, so you can't get it from anywhere else. So I had to make a recording of that song so I could play it on air. That's what I did.
What have you done to ensure that the people whose intellectual property you are stealing, what have you done to remunerate these people?
Well, you know, what I'm planning to do is I'm planning to have an original CD for everything and remunerate on that basis. So I'm going to pay a license for every track. But unfortunately, there are loads of things that we play on this radio station, this show, Popcorn, and late night atmospheric themes that they've never released on CD, but they're great songs.
That's all very well. And what you're saying is you're prepared to buy the CD. When you buy a CD, the contract is for you to play that for yourself, your own purposes. It is not a contract. If you look at any DVD, any video, it says at the beginning of the video, you are not allowed to show this publicly. There is a reason for that.
Yeah, I know that. I've seen that. I've seen it written there. But I think they have a certain feeling about them. I think, you know, works made by artists, they just want to get out there to the public. And I think, in a way, I don't think I'm doing anything ethically
wrong. We are living in a capitalist society. I'm not an artist. How am I meant to be paid if you don't pay? If you don't pay, how everybody working for PRS will not be paid?
You see, if I play an unusual...
We have nothing to sell.
Yeah.
We are just, we are the, we own the intellectual property. We can't just give it away.
See, yeah, everyone owns everything. But you see, if I play an unusual song and it hasn't got a CD release for it, so you'd say it's that artist's own property. And if I do that, I get airplay and I get popularity based on this track. People love it. People love it.
What stops people from simply recording the song from you? Or downloading the song from one of your streams?
I'm prepared to meet you halfway there, because what we do here, we play little idents over it, so you're not going to get a very good quality of recording. Also, we keep the web stream quality down a bit.
I've just had a great idea.
Oh, God.
Why not, while you're playing these songs, say every 10 seconds, we could put PRS. Don't forget to pay your PRS.
I think you're mad.
Every 5 seconds then.
So you're going to degrade your product just to stamp your name on it.
Well, that would mean that people will know that the PRS hasn't been paid, for one.
All right,
If you're not prepared to pay the PRS, this, at least it shows that you are. It means that nobody's going to tape it. And that they will.
Well, they might do. They might just get.
Well, if they do, and they like the word PRS over their songs, well,
maybe they love the song so much they'll have it anyway. They don't care. They just want to hear the song, even though you put your authoritative voice over it.
Yes, I think then maybe that could work. Maybe we should do that.
No, well, I think
like
you're mad.
To be
honest with you,
every 5 seconds, I will go PRS.
You said 10 seconds before.
No, well, I think that's probably a little bit. Well, you're saying that people will probably record it anyway. I'm saying that that will not be the right thing to do. That is highly illegal, and will cost the record companies millions of pounds. And that by simply uttering the words PRS. PRS, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. PRS, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. PRS. People might be encouraged to buy tune themselves.
I'm sorry, but
they still know what the song goes like.
I want to help you. I want to help you preserve the integrity on your own recordings. I, for one, would never do something like that. I don't think how you set the rates. That I don't think anyone is going to go for that. I don't think. No,
well,
I think you're gonna have to. I think you're gonna have to come up with something else.
How about this? Every 5 seconds, an advert pops up.
That happens anyway on most stations. Not us. So sorry.
Mm. Well, we need to get the money from somewhere.
And you can't have an advert in audio. I tell you what, if you were a TV station, you could have your logo right up there. But no.
Yes.
You come to the wrong place.
That's what I mean. You'll need to say have the song would play. Anything I do, come to Halfords. I do it for
but you don't
Coca-Cola. That kind of thing.
You don't represent the advert.
Well, then hopefully.
I mean, sorry, no.
Then
no,
hopefully, no. Halfords and Coca-Cola could then pay your PRS.
No. You're a separate organisation. You represent the records. I think. I know. Can you leave? Can you leave one thing to us? Can you let us manage our own affairs? Can you let us get our own advertiser? Can you let us decide what we want to play?
We're perfectly happy to do that as long as you pay your PRS.
Okay.
Let me put this another way. You now are the recording artist. You've got massive tax bills to pay. You have a chateau in the south of France.
I'm on Cribs next week.
You're on Cribs next week. Your house isn't ready. You have an apartment in Los Angeles. You have several cars, your own boat. And people aren't paying their PRS. How are you meant to cover your expenses?
Well, I tell you what. You know how it used to work in the old days of radio? You know, there weren't a lot of mediums around to get people to buy records. You know what used to happen? Representative record companies used to walk into studios just like this and say, here's a record, now don't you play it. You know what the DJ would sometimes say? It's crap, I want you to give me a backhander before I'm going to put this piece of crap on the air. You know, and now you're trying to have it both ways. You're trying to have it the other way around. You know what? We're promotion for your tracks.
Right. What happened in the olden days was very corrupt.
Yeah.
Very corrupt and very wrong. We had it in the 80s with Gallup. If you remember the Gallup charts, what would happen as certain independent record companies would be pumped full of records so that they could change the charts. They could actually manipulate the charts And that was very similar to the Backhanders. Because once you've got your tune into the charts, then more people will hear it and more people will buy it anyway. We think that is wrong, a PRS. And we think that every time a track is played, the artist should be rewarded in some small way. With remunerations, with royalties.
You know, although that is a reward. I mean, who could say no to getting money? But, you know, more exposure, more of a fan base, and the mere fact that more people are enjoying the music that might not have otherwise connected with it. That
might be okay if you're Amy Winehouse. But we are living in the real world.
That's a reward, though. That is a reward, you know, and it's not for people like Amy Winehouse, it's for the smallest people, isn't it? Because they're the ones who want the exposure. And you know what? We're going to go out and look for those tracks. And you know what? Half of those aren't released on CD. But you're telling us
well,
we can't play
if
them.
If that's the case, yeah. If that's the case, if you've got unknown artists making unknown songs that have no PRS, well, that's fine. You can have them, but I'm sure they'd be rubbish.
Oddly, they might have PRS, because I think you've tied up everything. But anyway, I think we're going to have to move on to playing another song. And yeah, it's off a CD right up there on the shelf. I'm getting a little bit hungry, and I'm not going to bother telling you what else is in the show yet. We've just been yapping on too long about things. I think you just want to hear a bit of music for a bit of light relief. And you know what that is? Two things are coming up next. First, it's Oliver with Food, Glorious Food. Then next, it's the parody artist Weird Al. That's a subject for you in a minute. Weird Al Yankovic with Amish Paradise coming up as the second song. Keep it locked.
Popcorn.
Oh, you're still with us. Weird Al Yankovic with Amish Paradise. And before we move on to talking about what original features are in this today's show, Bank Holiday Bloody Monday, you're all stuck in. I'm going to raise a little point about that last song. You know what it was, don't you? It was a parody song, right? Wasn't it?
Yes, it's a parody song that has paid its PRS.
Ah, right.
Have you paid the PRS on that song?
Ah, right. But actually, good point. If they paid the PRS for being a parody, why should I pay to play the song? They've sort of paid. It's kind of, there's a lot of people paying here. You see what I mean?
Everybody pays.
Oh, yes. You make sure of that. You know, I think once somebody compared you to being the traffic wardens of the music world. Would you?
Somebody once called me the Reaper.
Well, I feel like that. I've got to say, I feel like that with you here at the moment. I feel this whole thing is dying, honestly.
I think I need to stand up for the rights of the artist, something that you are not doing. You pretend to be. You think that artists can live on thin air.
I don't
think so.
I'm not a pretentious guy at all, you know. I'm giving exposure, and I will eventually pay for it on the internet, but you can't on FM, can you? Because it costs so many thousands to be legally licensed on FM. You know, there's no way that you could officially pay for broadcasting on FM. You know, you can only pay for the internet one.
If you go through the right channels, if you have a conglomerate of some description, then things can be achieved. Yeah. But there's you must realise that we are living in a commercial world. And unless you are prepared to embrace capitalism, you have very little chance.
Well, I have no real licence for FM, so I can't give you anything on that. But when we get the internet stream up, I can only give you a small amount per track, a reasonable amount. That's all. And I can't calculate the number of listeners. What you want me to do is actually work out how many listeners are listening at any one time. And you want me to know where they're based so I can pay the royalties in that country. I mean, that's just
absurd. Well, the reason we need to do that is because we need to keep our tab on who is watching so that we can direct advertising to them.
But you're not selling any advertising. That's what I don't even take advertising.
I know, but we then sell we sell our data. So the people that you are reaching, we then know what they want, basically.
Well, I don't know how you can justify it, really, because you've got there used to be one license fee for the whole world. You just paid it once. It didn't matter where. You know, the internet works without borders. You pay for one license and you could broadcast anywhere you like. And now you're saying if you want to broadcast in France, in the United States, as well as Britain, you've got to pay extra on top of that.
I think you need to be realistic. In Africa, where people have to walk 20 miles for a glass of water, they now have to buy the water once they get there. So the idea that you could simply steal some music is beyond me.
Right, so you're comparing yourself to what you must realise there's an unjust situation like that. And you're saying that that method is a reasonable way of behaving.
That's how we work. That's how we operate.
Well, do you think your way is a reasonable way of behaving?
Of course I do. If it will do in Africa, it will do here.
Oh, perhaps it will. Well, OK, that was a parody song. It was originally done by Coolio. It was called Gangster's Paradise. Weird Al Yankovic called it Amish Paradise, so he got permission to cover the music that... I don't think even Coolio wrote that song. Didn't he take it off Stevie Wonder or something?
He did.
Yeah, so there you go. That's three layers already. Free expression. There you go. But he had to go and ask permission. You know what? Even if Coolio had said no, if Stevie Wonder had said no to Coolio, you know, I think that song that we just heard wouldn't have existed. But luckily, he managed to break down through the walls of permission and got that song made.
But he paid for the right.
Yeah, he did pay, admittedly, yeah. Now we've got to pay to play.
That's why rights are right.
Rights are right. Oh, what a great slogan. Doesn't make it right, though. OK, well, let's not talk anymore. Let's just talk about what we're going to have else on the show. A user remix is coming up next. The TV show The Office. Someone's gone and made their own techno remix of David Brent playing guitar. They've made it at home. There's no PRS on this, I'll tell you that. Then we've got the commercials. Yeah, we've got to advertise ourselves. And the rest of the things you can look forward to for this bank holiday includes Dermot Murnaghan. Eggheads is off the air. So there's a campaign against that. That's best news. There's a mini Simpsons episode. Coming up later, we've got the Barrel Scraper of the Week. And we've also got Noel Gallagher singing about the Conservative Party. What the heck is this about? OK, let's play the next song. Let's play the bloody next song. The Office. This is Free Love Freeway. It's a remix. Love this.
She's the serpent who guards the gates of hell.
YouTube.com Adventures in Video.
A new music video. Paul Reaney now playing Neston, Eastham, Aldmere Port and Deeside. A new music video. A Town Like This.
On YouTube.com Adventures in Video.
Going out or something?
Yes. To a bar.
If you're not back before midnight, you'll find yourself locked out.
And if that happens, I'll break back in.
The bloody cheek! When you come back in, you could grab the little station.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying not to laugh.
You try not to laugh too, but not too.
BBC Two has cancelled the long-time running quiz show Eggheads, and it's caused this reaction.
Just outside Trafalgar Square, a rather riotous demonstration has begun, and we're speaking to one of the eager protesters. Just what is this all about?
Ever since Eggheads went off the air, my life has been in turmoil. My kids won't eat, restless legs, and me and my wife have arguments every day.
There's nothing on telly anymore at six. Hugh Edwards to me is a crock. I think right now this demonstration is about to get a little more heated.
What do we want?
Dermot Murnaghan!
When do we want him?
6 o'clock!
So there you have it, passionate Egghead supporters from all over the country who have gathered in Trafalgar Square to demand their favourite pastime back onto the air.
Yeah.
BBC News at 6 o'clock. Best news.
Smash my paracetamol.
Now playing on Adventures in Video.
Go to youtube.com/Adventures in Video and check out the favourites.
I thought we'd never film this.
We're painting the roses red.
Popcorn with the PRS. I am losing my voice here. I've never argued so much. You know, I fell out with my sister once, you know, as siblings do. And I still didn't lose my voice then. I've shouted at my wife. I still have my voice intact.
You are such a DJ. All this flannel because you've just ripped off Walt Disney.
Walt Disney.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Can we get back to that in a minute? If you've just tuned in, I just want to tell you what you've missed and you can listen again. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Listen again on the website to this show if you've missed it. Right, OK, we played quite a few things before we came back after this commercial break and whatnot. A while ago now, we had The Office. Someone's made a remix for Free Love Freeway, David Brent's song that he wrote. They made a techno remix of that. Then we went into the commercials. Then we played Dermot Murnaghan's Eggheads protest. Then we had a mini Simpsons episode, our own Simpsons episode, the Quimby plan, and then we've just played a song from Disney's Alice in Wonderland, haven't we? The Painting the Roses Red. Nice song, yeah. What are you talking about?
How can you rob Walt Disney?
Walt Disney,
oh
right.
Oh, my God.
He's dead, you know. He's actually dead.
OK, the Disney Corporation, but the representative by Walt Disney and children. Children.
He's spinning around in his grave, probably,
I'm
with
sure
some of the
he
things.
Is.
That, no, not about me.
Well, not in
me.
His grave, because he's frozen.
All
so
right,
he'd be
fine.
Spinning around in his cryogenically operated
right, he's
freezer.
He's spinning around
if
in
you
his
think
refrigerator.
That's amusing, I think it's absolute disgrace.
Well, you know, I was saying that Disney wouldn't be so much... he wouldn't be so offended by someone like me paying homage to one of his great songs from a film that he probably fondly
homage
remembers.
Homage stealing?
Homage, no. I wanted to make the point there that I think Disney would turn in his fridge about some of the things that happened with the Disney Corporation. Now, you know, High School Musical, Hannah Montana, you know, these are so far from the original Disney as it can get. You know, I think, but do you think he'd be more offended by that or by a little guy like me playing one of his songs out on a Monday afternoon?
If he was alive, he would like to be paid.
Yeah, but he's not alive, is he? So what could we do him?
You're saying he's not alive. He's frozen. He will need money. If we get the technology that means we can bring him back to life, he will need money then. And you are denying him the right to come back to life.
Okay. How many millions do you think the Disney Corporation has?
Well, you know, every penny counts, as Tesco's say.
A lot of pennies there. I mean, if you put all the pennies that the Disney Corporation own into a stack, I mean...
Why else would they be making films? If he comes back to life, he will need the money.
All right. Well, if he comes back to life, you know. And if that happens, I think people would be a bit awe-inspired. I think that would be, even him, even, you know, I think he was pretty mercenary, but I think that would be at the back of his mind. I think he'd be so enamoured with life again. Or maybe you think...
I don't think that would last very long. Yeah. I think once he started to get a little bit hungry, or maybe needs some hospital treatment, we know it's very expensive in America, he would soon be looking for his PRS.
He could come over here and do it.
Guantanamo Bay, I've heard.
Guantanamo Bay?
Yes, they've got a great hospital set up. 6 doctors to every inmate.
Well, how do you know so much about that?
We know about all kinds of PRS. We like to keep our fingers in all the pies.
Yeah, well, you know what? You make me feel like I'm in Guantanamo Bay with all the rules and regulations that you make me adhere to in your ideal world, your view of an ideal world, you know. I'm going to leave it there for a bit. Disney's Alice in Wonderland, we're going to play another parody song now. It's from The Simpsons. And yeah, I've got the CD right there. It's a bit scratched, but I don't care.
And you've paid the rights?
Yeah, if you...
Thank God I finally got through to you. Oh, I'm just so...
I'm just telling you what you want to hear, you know.
What?
Well, you wanted to hear that, didn't you? That I paid the rights.
Yes, I do want to hear that.
Well, I'm telling you that then, because that's what you want to hear.
As long as that's true.
Well, I can tell you anything I want, as long as it's what you want to hear.
Well, it's what I want to hear... And yep. I'll be going back to the office later and I will be making sure that you've paid your Simpsons rights.
Okay, then.
And
well,
if you haven't, there could be a custodial sentence involved if you decide to keep your pirate station here.
Custodial? So
yes.
You mean you can actually go
yes,
inside?
We
this?
Have the power.
You have the power?
We have the power to take away all of your equipment.
But I thought that was, you know, the authorities, you know. I thought you would just represent the recording people. I thought, are you in league with them? Do you actually work with them against Pirate Radio?
We will be reporting you.
So you got a mobile phone, you're going to go outside and report?
No, I'm going to wait until after I've found out whether you've paid the PRS for that Simpsons song.
Right, OK, yeah. So you've just admitted there, amazingly, that you are in league with the authorities.
If in league means that we will report right. people who have gone against
you are not
the PRS rights, well, yes, then we are in league.
Yeah, you're not an independent entity. You are all working together.
Yes.
So it's a conspiracy.
Yes, just like your TV licence. Just like the little men that sit in the vans and can tell if people have got TVs
or not. I don't pay a TV licence.
We have the same amount of power.
I don't pay a TV licence because, you know, I don't watch the BBC very often. You know, I've got far too much time with this radio. I just don't, you know...
You're going to tell me you only watch ITV next?
If they've got a good show on, yeah.
You mean to tell me you don't pay for your TV licence?
Well, come on.
Oh, this is the giddy limit. This is the giddy limit. I don't know. I think this show should be shut down now.
Well, like I said, you know, there's more to life than the BBC out there, and you're forced just by having a TV. You know, in the old days, you actually had a radio license. Not only to broadcast, you actually had to have a license up until the 70s just to listen to the radio.
Exactly.
You know.
And where's it left us now? How many pirate stations did we have then?
Well, you know.
Apart from Radio Caroline, which is
fantastic. Yeah, I was about to say, I think you'd...
Radio Luxembourg?
Yeah, look, we had a lot of pirate stations back then. You just named Caroline.
Yeah.
In the 60s. We were flooded with them. You know why there were so many pirate stations?
At least because they were on a boat.
Yeah, they were on a boat playing the stuff that you weren't allowing, the other stations that were legal at the time to broadcast. That's why they existed. You know what you said, your organisation back then? You can only play so many hours of records a day, you know? And that meant that the little stations were around the 60s. People weren't getting what they wanted to hear. So, you know what? Pirates went up, disobeyed you lot, and just shoved the records on air any time they liked.
And look at society now.
You encourage that.
I think that's the reason that society has so many ills.
Right, so you're blaming our little hobby here, pirate radio.
It's indicative of the disgraceful decline in society since the 1960s, since the advent of pirate radio.
So the whole of society and its fabric.
The whole of permissive society, families breaking up, it's all down to pirate radio.
Undermine it. I'm sitting here now.
To undermine society,
I'm sitting here now, pumping a few records out and whatnot, and I'm undermining the British family.
The fabric of the whole of the British society. Right.
Okay, now how am I doing that then?
Well, you've usurped everything that the moral majority believe in.
All right, and what do they believe in?
We do not believe that it is right. You've never heard the testaments. You've never heard the commandments.
You see, the first problem is...
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's oxen. It's the same thing. Thou shalt not rob. Thou shalt not take away another person's intellectual property.
There's a slight problem here, isn't it? Is that you're calling what I'm doing stealing there, you see, you're using that word, you see, with those connotations. But you see, you with a copy, you don't actually lose the original. So it can only ever be infringement.
So you're saying to me that a recording artist who, after years of crafting and shaping a seminal album, their opus maximus, something that is their life's work.
Life?
Who then approach several, if not many, record companies. Then they take out a loan of, say, £1 million.
Wow.
A loan. They're not paid. They take out a loan. And then they have the expense of recording every single track at massive expense. For a recording studio of any great value costs at least £1,000 an hour. You take the likes of Amazon in Liverpool. Then you need to pay your engineers. Then you need to pay for publicity. Then you need to pay for gigs. You need to pay for every stage money is spent. Then you come along, record the tune, and then you have it. What have you done apart from recording the tune? What makes you deserve that tune?
I think you kind of went off on one there, because all we're doing here is playing the tune, which means it's being promoted, which means that they might gain more and more listeners for the tune, which makes it... I'm listening to the world today.
People who don't pay for the tune should not be listening to the tune.
What, you're saying that people who listen to the radio should be paying for it?
Yes.
Right, we're going to get back on that one as soon as we've played another song. Did we say something about Simpsons before?
I think we did.
Yeah, well, I'm playing it now. This was the B-52's Love Shack originally, and the Simpsons have called it Glove Slap. Oh.
Popcorn with the PRS.
I was so flustered in the last link that I just... I couldn't tell you anything about the show or anything, you know. We've just played The Simpsons with Glove Slap, and also we've just played quite an unusual song. It was called Welcome Home to ITV, and you know what? That song was actually made because of the 1979 TV strike, in which, gosh, slap horror, ITV actually went off the air for a few months because of a strike. I wasn't really sentient or born or anything like that when that happened. I think things are scraping the barrel on the show now, and it's therefore I think it's quite appropriate what we're going to be playing next, which is the Barrel Scraper of the Week. But I have to get back to what we were talking about. You know, you said that ordinary listeners to the radio have to pay to listen to the radio.
They should pay. I didn't say they had to pay. I said I think that they should pay.
Right, there's a big difference.
It's like a big difference.
All right, it's like a suggested donation box in the art gallery then, isn't it? How are they going to pay then?
No, I think the law should be changed so that everybody who owns a radio should pay a decent size licence fee.
Well, you see, you want the reintroduction of the radio licence.
Yes.
Yeah, but I wasn't even talking about that. We know that's abolished, but there's another thing that I'm a bit worried about, which is if you've got a shop or a business or anywhere the reasonable size, or any size really, where the public can come in, you've got a radio play and you want money from them, even though it might be a legit station that's already paid its licences, you want that business to pay again just because they're playing the copyrighted songs that the radio station's already paid for.
If they want to have music in their shop, that's the rules.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a case last year in late 2007. It involved Quick Fit Fitters in Scotland. They had a radio playing in a little part of their workshop, and they had this little window for the customers to come to, you know, and they could hear Radio 1. And guess what? They got sued by the PRS. Because they didn't buy a licence per year. So, you know, how far is it? What lengths will you go to make sure that every single possible use of a copyright tune is paid for? Including in a situation where the radio station has already paid for the bloody licence in the first place to broadcast the songs.
You can go on. There's so many different possibilities that, you know, when you think about it, say you go to another country and buy, you go outside of the European Union and you buy some vodka.
Yeah, well, to get away from you, yeah.
If you bought two bottles of vodka, you're only allowed to have one duty free. You would then have to pay the duty again on the second bottle of vodka. You've already paid it in one country, but to bring it into Britain, bring it into the European Union, you would have to pay the duty again on the second bottle of vodka because, simply, you're not allowed to have that much vodka, bring it in the country without paying extra duty.
You're going back to those international web fees, isn't it? Forcing people to pay for different set of rights for each country they're in. But I'm not even talking about that anymore. It's just about as unfair as this idea of a business having to pay just to use music that's on the public radio station, which anyone can listen to on their Walkman or in their car radio or whatever.
Anyone should then. If you want, as your business, to be playing it and the people in public will be listening to it, you have two choices. You pay your PRS or you don't have any music. Simple.
Right, so
I think that's quite fair.
Right, even though these very same members of the public could have driven into that Quick Fit garage with Radio 1 blaring in their car.
That would be fine.
They come up and hear it again at the desk. And they're expected, and the business is expected to pay for that privilege.
Yes.
Why am I using the word privilege? It's just normal life. It's so integral to our life now to have a radio playing on in the background in many places. How can you charge for something like that?
Well, I think that you're not valuing music that much.
But
you
are.
You think that it should be just everywhere? You think that it should be free?
I'm not saying it should be everywhere. I'm just saying.
I think so.
Even if I am, I'm just saying as a plain fact. It is ubiquitous. Because this pop music is now a part of our culture. It's just everywhere now.
I think it's churlish of you to expect free music. Next, it'll be free love, free money.
Hey, we've had that.
Please.
Oh, and the other one was an anachronism.
Yes. Please, let's be realistic.
We love doing that.
To our capitalist roots.
You love capitalist roots, don't you? Don't you think there's any other ways we could do things, though? Don't you think there's... I mean, that's getting a bit deep with someone like you.
Next, you'd be saying that you'd prefer communism.
Well,
a person makes a song, you know, everybody hears the song, and that's it.
You know, I think after
having... Is that what you think we should be running the world like?
You know what? After you've come into this studio today, I think now you've just convinced me to go out tomorrow and buy a copy of The Morning Star. I think you've just showed me everything bad about capitalism. I was sitting on the fence before you came in. You can change people, not for the better, or even for the worse.
That depends. I think, really, you've been very resistant to common sense. Mm. You've been very liberal with your use of other people's property.
But I'm not. I'm not disrespecting it. That's the thing. I'm doing some good. I'm adding to it. I'm being more positive. I'm being more creative. I'm actually helping them in a way, if you see it in that way. But if you see it in the other
right,
way...
Right, say you wanted to make a painting. You're making the painting from oil paints and a canvas. You're making the painting, like you say. Would you expect to get the oil paints and canvas for free?
You know what? Well, first of all, the making of the painting. You could just use whatever's around you to inspire, and you could use whatever you're given. You might, you know, the great painters might be given the tools, but also in that...
I'm sorry, they're not. Paints are expensive, and so are canvases. They would need to purchase them.
Just imagine, though, you had an art gallery, and I actually sponsored a painter to do some of the best work, you know. Imagine the art gallery funding the...
Would
the
that
paint.
Work, though, as we see in Hyde Park this summer... Where Anthony Gormley, who's very respected, has just knocked together a sort of sculpture that is meant to be representative of the victims of 7/7. It is nothing more than some pillars with some rocks on top.
Well, so you think that's crap?
Well, I think that by saying you can have this money without actually finding out what you're going to get for that money, by commissioning an artist, you might be taking quite a big risk. They might become complacent.
Well, we agree on one thing then for the first time today, don't we, about that, but not about the real...
But I think if somebody has created a work of art and it is good, then he should be able to sell it. He shouldn't have to give it away.
Well, I'm not.
If it's rubbish, yeah.
You see, I'm not getting in the way of that because I think that the artists can do anything they like, but I think it would be good if we had a bit more freedom to be creative with things already created out there, with ideas already put out into the stratosphere. You know, say that mini Simpsons we played before. Clearly all the characters and all the ideas and inspiration have come from an external source. But we've gone on to make this brand new creation, which is something... It's new episodes from a take that could just never happen from the original crew. But that, being a derivative work, would not be allowed. Because you can't... Just because something is said to belong to someone, that it's their idea, that you can't touch it whatsoever. And yet, just imagine if God copyrighted the earth and he said, you know, you can't touch the sky, you can't use the trees, they're all copyrighted. You know, what is original?
Let me put it this way. You own an idea, you own a car. Would you be happy for me to take your car? Use it whenever I feel like?
You know, some communes are actually based on the idea of sharing resources. And sometimes...
I really don't like this hippie orientation, this commune, communist.
Well, I didn't expect you to, I've got to say.
It makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, you've been making me feel uncomfortable for quite a while now during this show. You've taken me off on a whole load of tangents. The whole flow is messed up.
I hope that by making you feel uncomfortable...
You will
then go out and purchase your PRS. No, it's very important.
You've come on here to sabotage this, to make it an unsuccessful show, and you're doing a great job of it. I'm going to come back to that after we played the Barrel Scraper of the Week. I'm going to further make it an unsuccessful show by playing this absolute heap of crap. That's what it's designed. It's got to be. It's called the Barrel Scraper of the Week. The worst remix of all time. Please enjoy if you can. We're following that up with Nickelodeon's Drake and Josh and their cover of I'm a Soul Man. Merry Bank Holiday.
Popcorn with the PRS. Music and comedy.
I love that song. I'm a soul man. Da, 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 da. Am I breaking the law doing that? You know, doing my own rendition
of the
song?
Well, you're definitely not a souled man. You're not sold on the idea of being honest, are you?
No, but I am a souled man. S-O-U-L.
Well, if you think that's going to put bread and butter on people's plates, if you think that is actually the right thing...
Hey, this is just hobby radio. I don't bother with it. You know, I'm not... You see, that's the thing. You're putting too many obstacles in the way of just enjoying things, not worrying about where they came from, just enjoying things.
As far as you're concerned, just doing something for the sake of it. Tom, Dick, or Harry could start up their own radio station, if that's the case.
They can in New Zealand.
Well, I think that's an absolute... That's abhorrent to me.
I'll tell you what, you know, if you're only allowed a certain power on the air, but any Tom, Dick, or Harry, if they lived in New Zealand, could set up their own radio station because they're allowed to broadcast alongside the other ones.
Let's hope there's not many people in New Zealand then.
Well, it's a bit more than you think. It's kind of more than the population of Wales. Now imagine if anybody in Wales could set up their own radio station. What would it be like? We'd have a bit more of an interesting choice in the radio dial in Wales, don't you think?
Maybe. to be so booked. Do you remember Citizens Band Radio?
I got one somewhere, you know. Citizens Band, yeah, they've just taken the licence away on that. You're allowed to use it. No, you're allowed to blabber on as much as you want over that.
So that is actually fine. So you could actually be on that as long as you weren't playing any music.
Yeah, well...
You could be perfectly within the law on Citizens Band Radio.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to record my original bits and pieces, hold up a CB microphone to them and broadcast them across town, across a crackly old piece of woman.
Well, that's exactly what you should be doing. You should be adhering to the law.
Well, if that's adhering to the law, I think I'd rather adhere myself to something else. Right, OK, a few little things left on this popcorn show for the Maybank holiday. What's coming up next is something that hasn't got PRS attached to part of the file. It is a new parody song of Oasis's Wonderwall. It's by Noel Gallagher. It's called You're My You're a Ball, done by somebody local. He doesn't mind me playing it. Well, I don't think he does anyway. I haven't asked him, actually, you know, because I, you know, because he could say no, same as you do. But, we're having
hear
that.
It, please. Yeah, we, I'm very unsure.
Yeah, okay, well, you can hear it. See what you think. After that, we've got a thing about Postman Pat. Please do stay tuned for that.
Today is gonna be the day that the UK joins the Euro. By now you should have changed pounds at your nearest bureau. I don't believe that anybody still insists on keeping with the pounds. Backbeat, the word is on the streets that the Tories want Labour out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but it's the truth, there's a doubt. I don't believe that any party should waste the people's time and pairs about. And all the roads of Labour are confusing. Conservatives are boring and amusing. There are many things I'd like to say about Mr. Brown, but I don't know how. Because maybe the Prime Minister is just crazy. And after all, his IQ is small.
Popcorn Radio, Bank Holiday, May Bank Holiday. We just heard You're My You're a Ball from Noel Gallagher. And
I'm sorry, I've just got to stop you there. I'm leaving. I've had enough. That's enough.
You know what the door is.
Yes, I do. I can't believe. That was Oasis's music. Disgraceful. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, I hope that slam door won't happen in reverse when she comes back to raid us. Okay. No Gallagher's You're My You're a Ball caused that storm because it was recorded without the permission of the writing artist, who I believe is Noel Gallagher, even though it was our original version of the lyrics, but not the song, and that's all that matters there. Right, we are the Western of radio. We are the Wild West, just broadcasting without a licence, so we're going to play the last song on this bloody show. It's called The Main Themes Are Rawhide. Enjoy! And then we've got two more things to come after this. One's Going Postal with Postman Pat. The last thing is a surprise. Good rolling, afternoon!
Rolling. Popcorn with the PRS. Best news.
In a shock development, the British National Party leader Nick Griffin is set to rename the party. We tried to track him down at his racist headquarters. We managed to find out where those are. We managed to speak to Nick earlier today. Okay, let's first, Nick, address these plans. Why do you plan to rename your party the English National Party?
Well, we did a study, found that most of the racism that's useful to us occurs inside the great populace of England. I mean, after all, Scotland and Wales now are quite devolved. They have their own parliaments. In some ways, there's a reduced need for the nationalism that we practice. And also, quite frankly, the British Empire was founded on England.
So are we to expect a redesign of your logo?
Yeah, well, the colours of the English and British flags, respectively, are quite similar, so we're going to be going for a St. George's redesign of our logo, which we're going to do using PaintShop Pro.
And the candidates you currently have in Scotland and Wales, will they be coming home?
Yes.
Sorry, got to cut you off there. We've just run out of time. Thank you so much. Nick Griffith of the English National Party there.
Best news.
Everyone likes a good story. Well, how about this one? Neil Armstrong never went to the moon in 1969. He went to Mars.
Gwen has been seen ordering the largest portion of chips in the chippy. They asked her to say when in regards to the copious amounts of salt and vinegar. They are still waiting for this day for the answer.
The government turn into lizards when they go home.
In the 1970s, Elvis was hidden by the CIA as he was too much of a popular influence. He is now living in Cuba. And Tony Blair likes nothing better than to retire to his PlayStation 2 of an evening and write his policies on a notebook from Spa.
Or, how about a really good story? Classic stories of fantasy and adventure. Some weekday mornings from 7 a.m. Dawn Chorus. Are you up for it?
It's Christmas, Top of the Pops. It's Quentin Wilson. We've got something really special, really exclusive for you today. Stepping into the building for this Christmas special, a merry Yuletide welcome for the boys' answer to the Spice Girls, the Spice Boys, and they're performing their brand new hit single, It's Wanna Be All Over Again.
Yo!
Original sketches and idents are by Adventures in Audio and Axe Productions.